The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Breaking news, and this one first.
Henry Lewis, Hank Aaron.
Hall of Famer, one-time home run king.
755 career home runs.
Hank Aaron has passed away this morning at the age of 86.
Hank Aaron, Hammer and Hank, the all-time home run champ, not the one-time, once the home run champ. No one I know who follows baseball, who I grew up with, considers Barry Bonds the home run champ. Your head can't triple in size at the age of 35, 36, and that coincides, you know, with a doubling of your home run to at-bat ratio suddenly. Nonsense. Hank Aaron is the all-time home run champ. And let me explain something. Very sad that he passed away at 86. Obviously led a very full life. When Hank Aaron broke the home run record, we have a very full show. Joe Montana's coming up in about 10 minutes. We're going to break down the conference championships, NFC and AFC championship games with the GOAT before Tom Brady was the GOAT, Joe Montana. There's a lot to get into today. LeBron James made a statement against Antetokounmpo, but Hank Aaron passing changed everything in sports today and all the rundowns, you know, in the order we're going to do things. And especially for me, I'm a huge baseball fan. I grew up, it was my first love as a team sport. When Hank Aaron broke the home run record, Major League Baseball was more important than the NFL and NBA combined. No one cared about those other sports compared to baseball at that time. The economy of baseball was much bigger. He broke it in 74, but he did the bulk of his work in the 50s and 60s. There's never been another moment in the history of American team sports that was a bigger deal in terms of record-breaking than Hank Aaron's 715th home run. Babe Ruth was the biggest icon in the history of American team sports. He's the greatest baseball player of all time. He was a single season and career home run champ. And the home run was the symbol. Like, you know, it was a uniquely American stat. Eventually, Japan adopted baseball and other places around the world adopted baseball. But it was invented in America. And it was America's pastime. And by far the biggest sport in America. It's embarrassing to compare any other sport to it. Like, think of the position the NFL has today in the American sports consciousness. Not close to baseball back then. Not close. And there were fewer entertainment options. So baseball was the sport in the country, right? And it was uniquely American in that way. And the home run was uniquely an expression of, in certain ways, of American power. Once upon a time. And Babe Ruth was the champ. And Hank Aaron, a black man who broke in 1954, 7 years after Jackie Robinson broke the color line in Major League Baseball, beat that record on that day. Tell me, maybe when Roger Maris hit 61, but there's no touchdown record that ever compared to that or points record, because the NBA and the NFL just weren't that big a deal back then. And since then, what record has been broken? When Tom Brady and Drew Brees went back and forth with the touchdown record? No, there wasn't a lot of fanfare about that. McGuire and Sosa breaking Roger Maris's record that he took from Babe Ruth, I guess, but those were ill-gotten goods and everyone knew it. There was nothing ever, before or since. The closest is Cal Ripken's consecutive games played streak, because Lou Gehrig's record was this iconic record. But, and that's awesome, that steadiness. But the home run is different. The home run was, to hit a home run entered the vernacular to mean, you know, the ultimate success, the big splash. He broke it. But here's the crazy thing about Hank Aaron. If you took away every single home run he ever hit, think about what I just said. At the moment he broke it, before or since, nothing comes close to comparing to that moment in terms of record-breaking in the history of American team sports. Nothing comes close. Pete Rose's hit record? No, a hit ain't a home run, sorry. Cal Ripken breaking Gehrig's record? Great for consistency, but that ain't the home run. No football, no basketball record? Sorry. If you took away every single home run he ever hit, he'd be and replaced them all. Like for not even with his, just took them away. You don't turn them into singles or anything. Just take them all away. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer because if you took away every hit he ever had, he had over 3,000. Sorry, every home run he ever had, he still had over 3,000 hits. Anyone ever who has 3,000 hits, first ballot Hall of Famer. It's automatic. Take away every home run that this man ever hit, first ballot Hall of Famer. But wait, it gets better. He was a great defensive outfielder. Not a good one, a great one. Tim Kirkchin told me on the air today, by some lights, the third greatest right fielder defensively of all time. A gold glove winner. But there's more. He was a great base runner. He stole 240 bases in his career at a better than 3-to-1 ratio in terms of how many times he was caught, which is excellent. And had a year with 30 steals. But wait, it gets more. It gets better. There's more. Great base runner, great defensive player, great hitter, won 2 batting titles, all-time home run champ. Playing through the era, you know, black man accomplishing that. You can imagine the level of vitriol that came his way. Boy, nothing whitey hates more. Especially back then, than seeing a black man break the most sanctified record, right? How about this? I didn't know this until today. I just never bothered to look it up. I wondered, what did Hank Aaron do? Kirkchin mentioned something about how he was a clutch hitter. And people dispute whether there's such a thing as clutch hitter or not, but okay. We've established that some kinds of hitters fare better in the postseason than others. And in fact, the head of Sabre came up with a great system where he said, let me look at, like, if you take a 300 hitter, but he hits 290 against good pitching and 310 against bad pitching, right? He's going to do better in the playoffs with less variance there than a guy who hits 250 against good pitching and 350 against bad pitching, because that guy's getting to 300 by feasting on bad pitching. The other guy is just a great hitter, right? So, like, that does, you can make pretty good predictions about who's going to hit in the playoffs in smaller sample sizes. It's not perfect, but it works pretty well because you're facing better pitching in the playoffs. How did Hank Aaron do? Did Hank Aaron feast on bad pitching, or was he actually a great hitter? Well, he played in 3 postseason series, 2 World Series, and an NLCS. He had 74 plate appearances. That's not a sample size to sneeze at, 74 plate appearances. He hit 362. with 710 slugging percentage. And then the stat that blew my mind today. I'm trying to remember, Ralph Wiley had it. The late, great Ralph Wiley. He said, because Stan Musial has the second most total bases. When I talk about slugging percentage, you know, that's total bases divided by at-bats. Stan Musial has the second most total bases. He played a very long time, and he was a great hitter. And he hit for a lot of power. Ralph Wiley said that Hank Aaron has 12 miles more of extra bases than the number 2 hitter of all time, Stan Musial. 90 feet to a base. Hank Aaron's 12 miles ahead of Stan Musial, who's in second place. Look, I know it's a sad day in baseball, but... And of course, and you know, no one's happy that Hank Aaron left, but I really want to celebrate what he did right now, because I think he was Hank Aaron, because he was known for the home run, and he was not as great a home run hitter as Babe Ruth, right? His home run to at bat ratio and all that stuff. He did it by not being a 50 or 60 home run guy every year, but by doing 40 plus home runs every year for 23 years. Kind of like young kids who want an example of who he was, like Jay-Z. Jay-Z is the greatest rapper of all time. You might like one guy or another guy at their peak a little better than Jay. I get it. But if you're almost as good as anyone, just about as good as anyone who ever lived in their primes, and your prime is twice as long, ooh, it's tough to argue. He was a great, an underrated player. And I think one of the reasons he's underrated, Willie Mays came up 3 years before Hank Aaron, and was a more dynamic player, and at his best, even a better player than Hank Aaron by a very little bit. You couldn't be much better than Hank Aaron. And he was a center fielder, and Hank Aaron was a right fielder, and Willie Mays was a little faster, and even a better, more spectacular defender, and hit 50 home runs a couple times in a season in his career, back when that meant something. And I think people wanted it to be Willie Mays, but it was Hank Aaron. And I'm going to talk more about him later on, because his career deserves to be celebrated today. But I want to welcome in right now, because we are heading in to the championship games. That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise.
Aaron Rodgers has blown through everybody on his way to this NFC championship. Coming off what Tampa was able to do to Drew Brees, this one is going to be super interesting. Let's go!
I want to welcome in the original GOAT. Boy, when I was a kid, let me tell you something. I don't get starstruck. I've met everybody and, you know, talked to everybody. There are a couple of sports figures that I have spoken to or have had on as guests where I can't get it out of my mind. Like, I can't believe I'm talking to this guy. And my guest right now is one of them. Joe Montana, four-time Super Bowl winner, 13 touchdowns, no interceptions in that Super Bowl. The original GOAT before Brady joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Joe, thanks a million for coming on.
My pleasure, man. Thank you for all that. I appreciate what you said.
Dude, there's some guys, man. You're one of them.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're one of them. There's some guy. Even right now, I'm like, I'm talking to Joe Montana knows my name. Because you were larger than life when I was a kid. And one of the things that strikes me about going into this NFC championship game, Brady versus Rodgers, is I'm reminded throughout Tom Brady's career, especially with Peyton Manning more, but now even with Rodgers, where you look at one guy, you go, that guy's better, really. It's just that Brady's in a better situation. And that used to be said about you at times, like Dan Marino's talent is so eye-popping. Brady's got Bill Walsh and Jerry Rice. And then you went to Kansas City at the end of your career and took him to the AFC Championship game. So to me, there is actually a lot riding, even though both guys' legacies are secure, a lot riding on this game. Like, Brady is not just doing it with smoke and mirrors. The guy is just great. What are your thoughts about this Brady-Rodgers matchup?
I think it's going to be a great one to watch. I'm excited about it. I think when you look at Aaron, it's been kind of undercover for his whole year. And you forget because you don't see Green Bay as much, or you don't hear the hype. And everyone's heard the hype about Tom, obviously. And Tom's had a tremendous, tremendous career, as we all know. But he's just kind of gone by the wayside of getting pushed behind. And you know, it's one of those things. He always has something to prove, feels like he has to. And he plays like that. And you look at him, he's very meticulous of what he does. He's in with a great offense. He's got a system that he likes. He's got a good offensive coordinator. And, geez, I mean, he's just not getting the praise, I think, that he deserves through this year. And mainly because everybody's watching Tom. And then obviously Tom's having another great year. And nobody, like I said before, everyone's going, well, what do you think? I go, well, what do you think Tom Brady's going to do? He's going to go there and fall on his face? I don't think so. And he's just proven it. You know, he's got multitudes of weapons. And, you know, how do you get to him? You know, you've got to get in his face to get him slowed down. But when I think with Aaron, you know, his versatility is his ability to move and make plays. And, you know, I can't wait for the game, honestly. I don't know about anybody else. I'm sure they feel the same way. But this is going to be an exciting one.
Talking to Joe Montana, the original GOAT of my childhood, GOAT quarterback of my childhood, on the Goodyear Hotline here on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Joe, probably no one would have more insight into Tom Brady's, what really is going on inside, without even having to speak to him than you, in the sense that so much, oh yeah, Brady had Belichick. I've been saying, look, Brady's great. He'd have been great anywhere. But man, he had Belichick all these years. And similar things were said about you. Yeah, Montana's great, yeah, but system quarterback. What? And then they get Steve Young, and you're out the door. The greatest quarterback of all time, perfect in the Super Bowl, 4-0, 13 TDs, no interceptions, and clutch play after clutch play. What was going on in your mind? Now, all these years later, what was going on in your mind? Like when you went to Kansas City and took them to the AFC Championship game, was any of that stuff motivation?
Yeah, it was. I think mainly because you know, I lost that job because of an injury. And so I was looking to prove that I could still play the game at that high level. And, you know, I went to a good team. I know I'm not going to joke around. We had a great defense. And, you know, here we go. We make a big, dumb mistake by losing one of our – in the last three games, we lost to a team we shouldn't have lost to. And it cost us having a home field advantage instead of going to Buffalo to play the championship game, where it was, I think, 9 degrees, light, slight wind chill, the wind blowing, little drizzle. It just was a crappy day. And I don't know how Kelly dealt with that weather all the time, because I couldn't throw the ball 10 yards. So, but we stayed in the game, and I don't know, it was fun to go. It was a great experience. The fans, as you obviously and a lot of people out there know, Kansas City is a crazy, crazy place to play for an opponent. But as a home team, you know, Marty Schottenheimer kept saying, wait till you go out for the first time and wait till you hear him sing the national anthem. And this is nothing like anything. I go, Marty, I don't know. I played in 4 Super Bowls, a bunch of championship games. I just can't figure it. Man, I get chills still in my arms thinking about the first time he ran out there and listening to the national anthem at the end instead of home of the Brave. The whole stadium screams at the home of the Chiefs. And, I mean, it just does something to you. And they were behind you win or lose. They were great to play in front of. And but really, you know, I just wanted to play the game. I wasn't ready to retire. I thought, you know, I still think I retired a little bit early, but, you know, one concussion and an injury here and there, and, you know, I started thinking about the rest of my life.
And you were playing, in an era where they didn't take care of the quarterbacks like they take care of them now. You probably could have played another 10 years if you did. I guess what I'm, before we move on to the AFC, I guess what I'm trying to figure is how much of the motivation, like I'll tell the story. Look, is it the greatest sports debate of the 20th century, 21st century? Was it more Brady or Belichick? That goes up there with, that's up there with like LeBron or Jordan nowadays that people love to debate. How much of what motivates Brady, at least in terms of your own experience when you went to Kansas City after San Francisco, how much of that is guys like me just kind of mapping on our own story? And how much of that is really going on inside the player saying, oh, wait a minute, you think it was smoke and mirrors? Yeah. Let me show you what I can do.
Well, I think a lot of it, you know, for Tom, I don't know what his situation was like, but the thing that, you know, it was always, I felt like I was with Bill Walsh was I understood, it took me a few years to figure it out, but I finally understood what his system was about and what he wanted. And I think that's why we had so much success is that I wasn't, hey, I'm not throwing enough deep balls. I mean, we used to hear a lot of times, well, you haven't thrown a touchdown pass in 2 games. Well, I can't tell Roger Craig not to run the ball into the end zone. Stop. Hey, I haven't thrown a touchdown. I need you to fall down on the one so I can throw a touchdown. So, you know, I think I understood what he wanted from it. You know, we're going to play. We're going to keep pressure on the defense. That's what it was about. It was like a full court press, right? It doesn't always work, but you just, the more pressure and pressure and pressure gets to you here and there, and then you'll get a big play. Or if not, we'll just keep playing the game the way he wanted to play. If we're going to try to get the ball down the field, if not, I'm going to give you these other guys down here. Because defenses have this crazy mentality where they talk about you hand the ball off on first down, right, and the guy runs for 4 yards. And everybody says, you can't give up 4 yards on a run on first down. But you drop back the pass, you look to throw the ball, you end up dumping it down underneath to the tight end. And what happens? The defense, you gain the same 4 yards, but the defense thinks they stopped you. And initially, before they know it, you're inside the 20. Uh-oh, we got a visitor. So... That's our little thing about it.
Yeah, I know what that's all about. Joe, let me ask this, because before, they're telling me we have a minute, but I'm going to extend that by a couple minutes. Hold on. I got Joe Montana. Yes. Just everyone calm down. One of the things that really distinguished you in my eyes as a fan, and I see also in Tom Brady, is the decision-making. You just seem to make better decisions than everyone else, and so does he. And when I look at the AFC championship game, hopefully Mahomes is good to go. Mahomes is this guy who has that, like, Dan Marino or Aaron Rodgers. Oh, my God. Do you see this guy's just raw talent, or Brett Favre or someone like that? But also seems to have that Joe Montana, Tom Brady. He just seems to make better decisions than everyone else. And yet he's hobbled and, you know, concussed, bad foot. And he's going up against Josh Allen, who's had a spectacular season. What do you see in Mahomes, Allen, Chiefs, and Bills?
Well, you know, if Mahomes goes, obviously, it's really tough to pick against those guys. You know, he makes that team so special, and he is a different one. I don't think there's been anyone like him around. His ability to move, run, throw on the run, off balance. I mean, what kind of throw hasn't he made and can't he make?
And he doesn't turn it over, Joe. He doesn't throw interceptions on top of all that.
And that's the biggest key is you got a good defense. As long as you don't keep putting them in a bad position by turnovers, you know, he's going to come through for you in the end. And I think it's difficult for the opposing teams because you all think, okay, we got him, we finally got him. And the next thing you know, within 3 minutes, or 4 minutes, he's got the ball two or three times, and all of a sudden his points on the board, and you're behind. And I just can't count him out. I think if he doesn't play, it's a little bit of a different game. They do have a little better pass. The Chiefs have a little better pass defense than rush defense. So and the Bills like to throw it, obviously. And Josh Allen's having a tremendous year again. So I think this is – I mean, I'm hoping that he plays. I hope he doesn't put himself in any kind of danger. You know, concussions are nothing to mess with, but how bad that concussion was and what the protocol all is, you know, I don't really know exactly. So I don't think they'll put him in a bad position because he's so young and they want to make sure he stays around for a while. But certainly would be great to see those two go against each other. And I think if he doesn't play, the Bills have a little bit more of a chance. I think it's going to be a good game either way. But, you know, when it comes down to the wire, I'll put my money on Mahomes.
So before I let you go, Joe, and I can't thank you enough for coming on, who are we going to see in the Super Bowl?
I think I take Kansas City and Tampa.
Kansas City and Tampa. Wow. I think everyone's rooting for not the Bills, nothing against Josh Allen, but we want to see Mahomes either against Rodgers or Brady. But you like Tampa.
I just think you look at teams and you look at those guys that have something going and they keep getting better and better, have gotten better out throughout the year. And, you know, if you can get to Brady, you got a chance. But if they don't get pressure on him early and, you know, they're just going to be a scoring machine. They got too many weapons.
Well, everybody, that was the GOAT. Before there was Tom Brady, there was Joe Montana. And as I said, I'm not often like, wow, I'm talking to this guy. But Joe Montana is one of them. Joe, thanks a million for coming on today. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The great Joe Montana, the original GOAT, joined us on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Oh, did I hate those Niners teams. I was a Giants fan, and it was just a killer. My whole life, I was like, when can the Giants have a quarterback like this? I'm still waiting for it.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Henry Lewis, Hank Aaron.
Hank Aaron has passed away this morning at the age of 86.
He represented so much change, not only in baseball, but in our country.
He really enjoyed the fact that people did finally respect him and that people did reach him after all he went through in 1974.
What are your favorite memories of Hank Aaron? By the way, it doesn't have to be that you watched him. I'm not just talking to old people now. I mean, like, do you remember hearing something about him? Did you ever get into baseball and look up his records? You ever hear your mom or your dad talking about him or your grandfather at this point? Came up in 1954. And by the way, for almost a quarter century, this dude could have hit third or fourth in almost any lineup, would have hit third or fourth in any lineup in the major leagues for almost a quarter century. A metronome, he's just consistently great every year. And I spoke earlier about the level of his greatness. I'm going to talk more about it. This is the Max Kellerman Show coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. I'd like to welcome in Lisa Ryan, a news anchor who covered various aspects of Hank Aaron's life. Lisa, thank you for joining me.
Max, it is a pleasure. I tell you, the news came down early this morning. I was in the newsroom, and there was this really, honestly, this collective sigh because, you know, we know what he did for the Braves, but he was all about community here in Atlanta. And I think that's what everyone really appreciates today, you know, when they think of fond memories of him, seeing his smile, seeing him at, oh, my gosh, almost every major community event that there was. That's the man that a lot of people are mourning today.
You know, it's funny because when something like this happens, a great figure passes, I think there's a tendency to underrate sometimes what they actually accomplished in their field of you know, in their field, in their profession. And Hank Aaron has sort of become a symbol in a lot of ways. He's the home run champ and all that. But in fact, the greatness of Hank Aaron as a player, I've been going over it today, has been lost. Everyone knows, yeah, he's super great. He's one of the greatest of all time. People don't understand how great a player he was. Was that in that area at that time after his career? What was it like for people to be around him? How did he carry himself? All that kind of stuff.
Well, I can tell you, kids were in awe of him because Hank Aaron lived in a part of Metro Atlanta, which is called Southwest Atlanta. And there was a group of old favorites. They called themselves the SWAT team. And that consisted of the first black mayor of Atlanta, Maynard Jackson, and his first wife, Bunny Jackson, Andrew Young and his wife, and then Hank Aaron and his wife, Billy. And they would literally walk the streets of this neighborhood. They were all neighbors. And it was so important for them to stay there. And Hank Aaron is quoted as saying once, you know, I have the money to move anywhere in the world, but I want to stay here in my community. And he did so. He would walk the streets and the kids would go nuts and they would look at him and they'd say, you know, he owns this car dealership. Of course, he's 715, you know, but here he is staying with us. He's among us. And, you know, he would flash that smile with them. He would, you know, talk with them on the street corner. That's who Hank Aaron was. He was all about community, specifically his Southwest Atlanta community.
What I love about what he represented in terms of the record he broke, there's no record in American team sports that's comparable to that one at that in that place and time, the home run record, which is like a symbol of American power and success because it was a uniquely American game. And it was held by Babe Ruth, who was a big, strong guy. And Hank Aaron's, you know, 180 pounds. But a black man broke the record that symbolized power and strength. And I imagine that probably got under the skin, so to speak, of the white power structure differently than it had it been like a hit record or some other kind of record. The fact that it was specifically the home run record and it came from this kind of modest guy in his comportment, even in his size, but a black man was must have like compounded what he had to go through. What can you tell me about those kind of things, like what he had to go through on his way to setting that record? Are you aware of it? Had you ever heard about it?
Well, what I can tell you is I talked to a couple of my buddies who covered sports here in Atlanta, and they talked about, you know, his struggle, you know, and just how humble he was through it all and how he just emerged with really no battle scars. But he talked about it a lot, too. And like I said, he was this major, major role model. You know, he was like the Black Panther for so many kids. And he would talk about the struggle. He would talk about remembering where you came from. You know, he was always big on that. He never forgot what he went through despite all of the accolades. That's for sure.
There were, you know, he was from an era also where black athletes, whether or not their natural disposition, and baseball has a way of humbling people because it's a sport where you have to constantly deal with failure. But whatever the athlete's natural disposition, pre-Muhammad Ali, certainly, boy, you had to play it down. You had to be humble, especially in order for you to be able to do what you wanted to do, because otherwise you had a whole other set of of problems from the powers that were. Did you ever hear about his disposition toward the more modern athlete who celebrated themselves differently, let's say, than Hank Aaron did? And I'm thinking specifically of Muhammad Ali.
You know, he was always, you know, he was seen as that mentor. And, you know, a lot of people called him the father figure to the next generation of black baseball players because, you know, as you said, it wasn't a field in which a lot of African-Americans were welcome into. It wasn't seen as their sport. And, you know, he bore the brunt of that. And he wanted to encourage, and he did. He encouraged a lot of young baseball players who came behind him, and he encouraged them to encourage those behind them, because Max, as you know, it was a tough sport. It was a tough atmosphere when he started, and the climate, you know, very indicative of what we just went through today. That kind of storm. He constantly faced that storm. But like you said, very humble, very kind, very just willing to share the knowledge to make the journey a little easier for the next person.
Lisa Ryan, NPR's Morning Edition host and senior producer, thank you very much for talking to me today on this sad day in the sense that Hank Aaron passed, but also a day to celebrate his life and career, which was exemplary and extraordinary. Thank you very much, Lisa. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Max. My pleasure.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. So Hank Aaron, let me tell you kids what a big deal Hank Aaron is, in case you didn't notice. We're heading into championship weekend. Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers, Mahomes versus Josh Allen to determine who goes to the Super Bowl. Hank Aaron passed. It knocked everything off the headlines. That's the headline. This dude was such a big deal, it's hard to explain to kids today. Okay, but we do have to talk some football. We're going to be talking Hank Aaron and football throughout the show. Bills supporters, the best fan base in the NFL, no doubt, coming up. A newly reimagined SportsCenter's back, only on ESPN+. Taylor Twellman, Trevor Scales, and Ashley Brewer relive the night's most memorable plays, best reactions from social media, top 10 lists, deep dives, and more. Love doing Sports Nation. I hosted it for 3 years with Michelle Beadle and Marcellus Wiley. It is a blast. Taylor Twellman, who's now one of the new hosts, used to come on and was always fun. I'm really glad that they're reviving that show on ESPN+. It's so much fun to do and to watch. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com, and you can catch me, of course, every weekday on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus at 2 p.m. Eastern, along with Greeny at 10 a.m., Barton Hahn at noon, and Shanae Ngolick Jr. at 4 p.m. Eastern, no doubt, coming up.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
What are your favorite moments or memories of Hank Aaron's career? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, the true one and only career home run champion, Hank Aaron, passed today, very sad, but, you know, celebrating his life and legacy. He's become an underrated star in terms of his actual greatness on the field of play. But, of course, symbolically, he also means a lot to the game of baseball and was an important kind of an important figure in 20th century American sports, socially also. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. Gonna get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think of you.
No doubt.
All right, what do we got?
All right, Max. I don't know if you've heard of Bills Mafia and what they do for opposing teams. To date, the Bills Mafia has donated a total of $1.97 million to date, I'm talking about. Bills Mafia is the best current fan base.
To date whom?
Who like they to opposing players' charities, man.
Ah, yes. Bills Mafia, most recently to Lamar Jackson's charity after they beat Lamar Jackson. Yep. Bills Mafia right now, if you want to say the best fan base in sports, I think they're winning right now. They're winning. They're almost showing off they're winning so much. Yep, I agree.
Okay.
No
All
doubt.
Right. Hey, check it out.
No doubt.
District 19. There we go. A little better late than never. District 19 state rep Justin Humphrey has introduced a bill in Oklahoma State House that would institute an official Bigfoot hunting season in the Sooner State. Quote, "I want to be really clear that we're not going to kill Bigfoot," Humphrey told the Oklahomian. we're going to trap a live Bigfoot. Mm. Man, somebody going to get hurt, Max. Somebody going to get hurt.
I better not take my shirt off in the woods. That's all I have to say in Oklahoma. Got hair growing on hair. I feel like a Yeti. You know what else? My body hair grows straight. It doesn't curl. I really do. I look like the missing link. I just have to remember to stay away from Oklahoma.
You believe in Bigfoot?
I mean, I did a show with Marcellus Wiley for 6 years.
All right. Check it out. One more. Hey, word on the street that the futures of Matt Ryan and Julio Jones are undecided in Atlanta. Yo, it's time to break this duo up.
I mean, so my choices are No Doubt or Nah, Son, and I'm going to tell you, who cares? What duo? It's Julio Jones and whoever is his quarterback. Matt Ryan and Julio Jones aren't a duo? Don't put Matt Ryan on Julio Jones's level? Break up this duo. yeah. All right. Look, we got to get into Henry Aaron, who sadly passed today, and the championship games. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.